What's up, Browns fans? Welcome to the Dogs Podcast. Let's kick this thing off.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Zach Kopp, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
Welcome back to another episode of the Dogs. Before we dive into this episode, I just want to remind everybody to check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Please subscribe on YouTube. If you happen to be one of the people listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, do us a solid. Leave us a little review so we can read it, feel better about ourselves, maybe tap 5 stars.
Have we gotten any 5-star reviews yet?
I'm going to do them. Does my 5-star that I give us like once a week count?
Right.
I do think we actually have like at least one review and a couple 5 stars on there. But, you know, we're trying to take over the world. We need more. So do us a solid. And if you listen on Apple and Spotify, I listened to our episode on that last week. We sound real good. So you're welcome. Well, hey, this week couldn't have gone any better for the Browns. Well, we're sitting at 7-3. So it's our best record in 26 years or something like that. And thanks to all the teams we needed to lose, losing, your Browns are now sitting in the playoffs with a wild card spot if the season ended today. So I want a big thank you to the Raiders, Dolphins, and, of course, the Ravens for losing this week.
The Ravens losing was, like, just so beautiful.
Couldn't happen to a nicer team. Yeah. Couldn't happen to a nicer, you know, fan base.
Yep. Right.
I love watching them lose, so big thank you. And I just saw I put the Raiders in here twice. I'm an idiot. Yeah.
And kind of talking about those teams, I mean, the Dolphins, they've been on a really good run, but, I mean, they go as far as their defense goes. And,
absolutely.
And Tua got kind of banged up this week, and actually their coach came out and said that he was benched, you know, based on his performance in the game. Now, he was also kind of hurt, so he was able to kind of, you know, use both stories if he wanted to. But their offense is obviously limited. And then the Raiders, they had to play the Chiefs. I didn't see them beating the Chiefs twice, but it was a close game for most of the game.
It makes you feel a little bit better about how they spanked us.
Yes.
Because, you know, then they're the only team to beat the Chiefs.
Right.
Well, before we get into the Eagles game, a couple injuries. Myles Garrett's still going to be out this week with COVID. We just found out before we came on that Sione Takitaki is also going to be out now. He tested positive for COVID. Really sucks. You know, he's coming off arguably one of his best games as a pro. And then, you know, the one that really stinks is Denzel Ward going to be out a few weeks with a calf strain. I don't know what happened. I don't know when it happened, but it kind of caught me off guard. And I don't know, Josh, do you still play corner at all? Are you going to go up and play, go up and help them? Because we're looking real thin in the secondary. I'm not really sure. I don't even know who's going to step up and take his spot.
I heard Kevin Johnson. I mean, but Denzel Ward's been locking guys down.
He leads the league in pass defenses.
Kevin Johnson, I don't know if he's going to
be. Is Greedy Williams back this week?
No. I haven't even heard anything about Greedy.
Is he still on the team? I mean, what's going on there?
Pretty much, you know, with Takitaki now, you're out. You know, your linebacker who's played, like Blake said, his best game, and your two best defensive players aren't playing this week.
Yeah, which we're going to get into the Jaguars game later. But
just thank God we're playing the Jaguars.
I don't know who we're going to roll out. But hopefully, you know, we're going to get into this Eagles game. I kind of thought that going into this game, you know, with Miles out, are we going to get any pressure? You know, we'll segue into this game. And guys stepped up on defense. How about Olivier Vernon?
We were concerned who's going to pressure the quarterback. We got that answer real quick.
Yeah, who didn't pressure the quarterback? I think I had half a sack last game.
Yep.
From the couch. Because, I mean, first of all, the Eagles' offensive line is atrocious. It was like watching the 2019 Browns. I thought Chris Hubbard and Greg Robinson were playing tackle for them.
Man, yeah, it was bad.
It was just open season on Carson Wentz. But Olivier Vernon, you know, he's been opposite Myles Garrett since he came to Cleveland, and we haven't seen this out of him. And it was nice to finally see him step up in a game where we needed him to step up. And 3 sacks, one of them led to a safety.
Sorry about that. Video playing on ESPN here.
Yeah, so unprofessional.
click that old mute button over there.
Yeah. Normally I remember to do that, but
wow,
not today.
Where was I? we want to start Olivier the show Vernon over. Are we going to start the show over, guys?
You guys Olivier Vernon really stepped up. That's where you were going.
Yeah, so it was good to see him step up, you know, the safety, which was huge, at a time where, you know, I thought the safety might end up being the difference in the game until we got that late score. Three sacks and just, I mean, AFC Defensive Player of the Week named this morning. So that was huge. Nice to see out of him.
Yeah, it brings his sack total now up to the year at five sacks in the 10 games. So, you know, finally nice to see that. Browns, we ended up with, I think, five sacks total in the game and 11 QB hits. That just felt like every time that Wentz dropped back, he had guys all over him before he was even able to drop back. That their line was just horrendous. And, you know, Blake, we were kind of talking before the game. Their game plan really didn't set up well for the weather that we had to deal with. I mean, Justin, you were at the game. The weather for another week of you in Cleveland, you've really enjoyed yourself.
How much clothing have you ruined?
So I had a white Nike hoodie on that
nice choice.
Destroyed. I mean, it's gross right now, but it's still sitting in my laundry room. I don't know if I'm ever going to use
covered
it.
Covered in mold.
Yeah. I was telling Zach and the guys earlier, I've been to like games where there's like snow, like week 16, week 17 snow. You can't even do anything, just sitting on your lap. And that was the most awful game it was a great game to go to, really fun game, but completely frozen. Like it rained the entire time. It was cold. I was soaking wet. And I mean, not to hate on Browns fans, but Browns fans, stop bringing your girlfriends to the game and not bringing a poncho for them. I don't understand what you're doing. Me and my wife are just going like, oh man,
that's gonna be a fight.
These poor girls.
Yeah, they're like, oh hey, you know, I'm gonna get decked out for this game. I don't think they've ever been to a Cleveland Browns game.
Right.
What are we doing? What are we doing, guys? So yeah, but it was awful. It was freezing.
So yeah. Talking, I don't want to talk about the Eagles a lot because, you know, ESPN, that's all they're talking about. We want to talk about the Browns on this show. But they came out and they ran the ball right down our throats. And I was like, man, here we go again. It's the Oakland game all over again. And then they didn't run the ball anymore.
No, they just kind of quit what was working. Miles Sanders had
16 carries.
He had 60-some yards at halftime. Because I was, you know, checking the stats, you know, at halftime. I'm like, man, if they keep running the ball. I felt like you. It's going to be like the Raiders game.
Mm-hmm. And he's good.
He is.
He's explosive.
And then they quit.
He had 16 carries for the game. How many? He had probably six or seven on the first drive.
Yeah.
Six.
Yep. Oh, six. So he had five more carries the rest of the game.
Well, in a torrential downpour.
Well, I was just say, you said about the Eagles line looking like last year's Browns line. Well, that kind of play calling is what Freddie used to do. Chubb would be out there just, you know. Yep. Chunking off, you know, yards left and right in the first half, and then you wouldn't even remember he was on the team in the second half.
We're going to throw the ball for the entire second half.
This tells me all I need to know about play calling in Philadelphia. Carson Wentz threw the ball 35 times in a torrential downpour.
Yeah.
I don't understand that, especially when Miles Sanders getting 4 yards a carry. Boston Scott averaged 4.8 yards per carry. I mean, I don't understand what they're doing. I'm glad they did it because – you know, they suck, and we beat them. But I think things are a mess in Philadelphia right now.
Yeah, first drive of the game for them went, okay, so no gain on their first carry. Then they completed a pass. Then it was a 9-yard run, 11-yard run, 5-yard run, 3-yard run, 4-yard run, 5-yard run, 11-yard run, and then a 4-yard run, and he fumbled.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they were – at will. There was no signs of stopping them on that first drive. You know, they convert and they score there. They go up 7-0. I mean, it changes a lot of, you know, they didn't score until the second half.
They ran the ball 25 times as a team in the game for 106 yards.
And I just named
half of them.
Probably close to 10 runs right there.
On the first drive. What were they doing?
Yeah.
They had the game plan right. For the first drive.
Yeah.
I mean, they literally took the Raiders game plan.
They were like, oh, we fumbled. We can't do that again. It's only 0-0.
And how big of a stark contrast is that from Stefanski? Which, you know, as long as we're not getting blown out, he will stick to the game plan. He will stick to, you know, what the Browns are. We have an identity. And he will continue to pound the rock. And we saw that in this game. We were not running the ball that great.
No.
But he just kept sticking with it, kept wearing them down. And next thing you know, Chubb rips off a huge run. Mm-hmm. Kareem Hunt jumps over somebody for a touchdown.
Man, it was like who can jump over who better in that game. It felt like one running back did it, and then they were like, oh, I can do that too. So they're kind of one-upping each other.
What about Nick Chubb's stiff arm?
Dude, the stiff arm.
So nasty.
We got to talk about it.
He's very good. Yeah. He's very, very
good.
Just
get off me.
Yeah.
He's so old. He seems like so old school too. Like I hate when it's raining and guys still wear gloves.
Because
wearing the gloves, when you get them soaking wet, they just get more slippery. And he took his gloves. It looked like a 1960s running back out there. No wristbands, no gloves, and he's just mowing people over. It was awesome.
I noticed Sanders did that too.
Yep.
And because I was watching the game with some people, and somebody said, well, why would they take their gloves off? Like, wouldn't they help in the rain?
No, there's a fine line. You get them a little damp, they stick. You get them soaked, they just turn into ice.
Well, they're so slick then. I mean, you can't do anything with the ball when they're soaking wet because then it's just right, you know.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And our running backs, you know, we're going to get into the offense. I want to talk a little bit more about the defense. But was it a silver lining with Miles out? You know, we were worried about, you know, who's going to step up. Are we going to be able to get any pressure with Myles Garrett being out? How much is it that the Eagles' offensive line is just awful? Or how much is it where without Miles there, the guys were like, man, you know, we can't just sit back and rely on Miles to make a play. Now we're going to have to step up and do it. And we got a much better effort out of these guys.
I think it's got a little bit to do with that. I think it also who you're playing. I think missing Miles maybe the week before against Houston is a bigger difference because, you know, how they were able to game plan to keep Watson in check. So I think going into this, I think it's a little bit of both. I think it is, that other players realized, hey, I got to step up, and then the Eagles are just that bad.
It kind of reminds me, sometimes you see teams, you know, with like a great player, and they get rid of that great player, and then the team actually gets better.
Right, kind of like the Odell thing.
Except for the Giants didn't get better.
Right,
I didn't know if you're that was a Cleveland reference.
No,
it was kind of.
Shots fired there, man. I felt like it was like, a shot.
I was trying to open the door.
Yeah.
Carmelo Anthony leaving the Nuggets, and then they won more games. Bryce Harper leaves the Nationals, they win the World Series.
It's hard to say,
you know, are they better without these great players? I don't know. I think what happens is their teammates get complacent. We don't got to get the big hit. Bryce Harper's going to get the hit. You know, I don't got to make the shot. Carmelo's just going to knock the shot down.
Notice we didn't make any reference of LeBron leaving the Cavs. That was not in the references. Hey,
and we shall not.
We did
that
for one game. The first time LeBron left, the very next year we played the Celtics. Game one.
And I was
up there for that game. JJ Hickson went off.
JJ Hickson went off, brother.
Mo Williams was still out there balling out.
Oh, yeah.
And we beat the Boston Celtics game one. And I was like, LeBron, who? We're still going to the playoffs. Same season, we lost 26 games in a row.
Yeah. That was a tough year.
I was at the game that we beat the Celtics. Then I was at the game where we beat the Clippers to end the 26-game losing streak.
So you should have just been up there every night.
Yeah. And
that was the problem.
It was J.J. Hickson versus Blake Griffin. Who was going to out-duel who?
Just a typical, you know, basketball that your team can be really bad. Somebody's got to score. So, I mean, you're throwing out J.J. Hickson. You put him on a team with some other players. He's probably not even on the floor.
He probably isn't in the NBA anymore. I don't know that for sure.
I don't think that he is.
No, but going back to the Browns, though, and all this stuff, Blake, I think that it is a real thing. I think, you know, when you got your best player out there, some of the other guys are like, you know, Miles, he's going to put the pressure on. I'll do what I got to do. But when he's not there, you don't have that excuse. You don't have that crutch anymore.
In all week, you know, we probably weren't the only show, you know, talking about, no, Browns are going to struggle to get pressure this week without Miles. They don't have Miles. I know we're probably the biggest show nationally talking like that all these players are, you know, listening to. But, you know, get up in the morning, ESPN at night, they're all going, how are the Browns going to get pressure without Miles? Well, Olivier Vernon's not deaf. He's got a TV. You know, he's going, hey, I do this for a living too. Yep. You know, and so it was good to see him kind of play with a chip on his shoulder this game. And then the rest of the defense, we were talking last week, where's Claiborne been?
Yeah.
Yep. You know, I saw him make plays. You know, we can't not talk about Taki Taki getting us on the board with the biggest play of his career probably.
Yeah.
With the pick six. And it just, the last 2 weeks, the defense has played really, really well. And I know the weather has something to do with that, but I don't know. It almost seems like, at least up front, the effort's been better. We haven't been getting bullied like we were against Oakland.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and then looking at the snaps, you know, Miles out. So you got Porter Gustin, who played well. I can't remember. Was that against Cincinnati? Early in the year, and we were like, hey, you know, where'd this guy come from? Maybe he should be playing over Vernon. We kind of made those comments early in the year. He played 46 out of 68. Adrian Claiborne played 39. And then Cameron Malvo, I'm thinking I'm pronouncing it right, played 8 snaps that was elevated from the practice squad. So guy that was just given the call, you know, late in the week saying, hey, you're dressing on Sunday, so be ready to go. Got on the field for 8 snaps. So,
nice.
And then Vernon played 81% of the snaps on defense. You got guys like Denzel Ward, Terrence Mitchell, Sendejo playing every snap. Carl Joseph, kind of surprising. He only played 18 snaps on Sunday. So that's kind of a number maybe we were kind of hoping that Sendejo was trending downward in snaps, and now it's Carl Joseph who didn't get the looks this week.
Well, I think that it's going to be trending up because I don't – did Harrison ever get back on the field?
Yeah, he came back
in. Did he come back in?
Well, I got it that Redwine filled in for Harrison, and Redwine played 47 snaps, Joseph 18. Harrison only played 6 snaps the whole game.
Okay.
So I don't know – I can't – I thought I saw that he was out there, but – the fact that he only played 6 snaps, I mean, he got hurt on the very first drive.
Yeah, yep.
He's limited in practice this week, so they haven't ruled him out. That's a big loss. He's turning into, you know, a guy that we depend on in the secondary. You know, it's been a pleasant surprise. We need him out there, especially in a game where we're not going to have Miles, we're not going to have Takitaki, we're not going to have Ward. We need somebody to cover somebody.
Yeah, I mean, you just named all the guys that made big plays last week.
Yeah.
Right.
And we're not going to get Sendejo to cover anybody.
In his defense, he led the team in tackles.
Yeah,
he can do that.
He can. He'll lay the wood, but
so
he'll miss one on one in the open field. Yeah, he'll lead the he'll lead the team in tackles, but also in missed tackles
and also blown coverage. So all day.
So he's like, man, if I just keep leading all these categories, I'm going to be our best defensive player.
Yeah,
maybe that's what he's thinking. Some other interesting snap counts. Kadero Hodge led all Browns wide receivers in snaps this week, 48 snaps. Yep. Hollywood Higgins played 40, and Jarvis third with 39.
I talked to a guy at work. What is wrong with Hollywood Higgins personally that he just can't seem to be on the field more for the Browns? I mean, I thought it was because Freddie Kitchens was a moron that he never got to see the field last year. This is a brand new coaching staff who I personally think is – doing really, really well, and he still finds himself odd man out.
Yeah, I don't know if there's something, you know, that we're not seeing. Maybe it's a work ethic type of a thing behind the scenes that we don't know about. But you do find yourself, I mean, he makes big plays in big situations.
Every time he's on the field.
And, you know, Josh has said, you know, the Baker's chemistry with Higgins is just different, you know, even than with Jarvis. Mm-hmm. I mean, their connection, when he's throwing the ball to him, it's, they know he knows exactly when he's going to be open. He knows what to expect from him. And so I don't know. There's got to be something going on that we just don't get to see every day.
You would think if it was a work ethic thing, something, you know, he doesn't get along with the organization, doesn't want to be here. He took a smaller deal than he could have got elsewhere to come back to the Browns this year. And you can't imagine that this is the kind of season he was looking to have when, you know, when he took that deal.
No, and again, anything that we talk about with the passing game, it's just so hard to actually get an accurate evaluation because these last three games have been trash. I mean, the weather is it's not conducive to a passing game. So who knows? I don't know. Sunday when we go down to Jacksonville,
Well, there's probably like a hurricane or something. I guarantee you there's something brewing up in the down in, you know, Punta Cana or something right now that's just heading right for Florida, you know.
But I mean, if the weather is somewhat not monsoonish,
yeah, you got to think 60s, 70s. I don't know.
Maybe a little sunshine would be cool. I mean,
don't worry. I'll look it up for you guys.
Yeah.
Make sure there's no pop up ads.
Well, it was a video of Teddy Bruschi talking. Okay. If you were interested.
But I mean, I'd like to see what the receiving options look like, what a passing attack looks like in a legitimate football game that's not being affected by the weather.
I know that was limited too. I thought Kadero Hodge looked good.
Led the team in receiving with 3 catches, 73 yards.
And big catches. Yeah. I mean.
Okay, so if we're going to do this right now, talk about receivers and stuff, those two guys, all right, but what's going on with Jarvis?
He is, in my opinion, he's having definitely having a down year.
Yeah.
Drops. I don't know what's going on with him. You know, you guys fought me all preseason that he was our number one receiver. You make the argument he isn't the second best receiver this year.
Yeah, he's struggling this year right now. And, you know, he has been injured. I'm not making excuses for him, but he has been injured. Maybe it's more than...
But his hands aren't hurt.
Yeah, but you also, you know, if your ribs are hurt and you got to stretch for a ball, maybe you can't stretch as far as you did.
Or you don't want to get...
When you're healthy.
Take that shot again in the same, you know, broken ribs.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not making excuses. It hasn't been good.
Update for you guys. It is going to be in the 70 degrees on Sunday in Jacksonville with a 60% chance of rain.
Of course. Of course it is.
Hey, Just to let everybody know.
I'm getting on a plane, guys. I'm heading down.
Wind gusts only 5 to 10 during the day and up to 20 miles per hour at night.
As long as it's not a downpour, we can play in some rain. These guys got big hands. They can grip the ball. But
hey, I just think it's unreal.
Well, hey, what? Why go away from what's working right now? Give the ball to Chubb. Yeah. Give the ball to Hunt. Run, literally take the clock down to 2-3 seconds every time. Control the clock. I mean, do we want to get into a shootout with
I'm not saying, you know, come out and throw the ball 40 times, but you can't sit here and tell me that the offense is really working right now. The offense scored 13 points this game.
No, I know.
You know, and against the Texans, they scored 10.
Right.
You know, what did we score against the Raiders? 6 or something like that?
6.
Can't say, we don't want to get away from what's working. It's not really working right now.
I mean, we're winning.
We haven't scored 30 in a while.
Go ahead. I would just say, but when the game plan is getting all jacked up for us, it's also been getting jacked up for the other team because we're all playing in the same weather here. So, yeah, I want to see what like a complete package, a complete game plan looks like with this Browns team. Yeah. The last time we saw it was against Cincinnati, right? And we just, it was awesome.
For three quarters, it was amazing.
Okay.
For one quarter.
It was pretty not amazing.
Yeah. Right.
Agreed.
So, but no, I hope the rain holds off at least for a quarter. Give us a
maybe it'll
quarter.
Be like that Florida rain though. That like it
sprinkles.
It's sunny, and then you get like a downpour for about 30 seconds, and then the sun's right back out.
Or it's just spitting on you.
Yeah. so maybe that's how it'll go. I've had that happen in Florida. You're driving along, and you're like, man, it's gonna storm, and then by the time you reach the end of the road, it's sunshine again.
Nice.
Kind of what has been working for the offense. So. Is there any doubt that Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, best running back duo in the league, and at least talent-wise, I'm not going to say, you know, in the history
of
the league?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's impressive.
They both have a chance to put up 1,000 yards this year. It'll be the first time since, Beiner and Mack that somebody's done it for the Browns. Not that many times in the history of the NFL has – two running backs on one team ran for 1,000 yards. This game hurt Hunt. You know, I think he only had 8 yards or 11 yards or something like that. 11 yards.
13 for 11.
But it's still doable. It's still doable. And I got some crazy Nick Chubb stats that friend of the program, Joe Thomas, tweeted out. You know, just kidding, Joe. But if you're listening.
Joe doesn't answer anything from you.
Yeah, but if you're listening, Joe, reach out. We'd love to have you. But he tweeted out some Nick Chubb stats that I thought were crazy. This is Nick Chubb's rushing attempts per quarter on the season. In the fourth quarter of games this year, Nick Chubb has carried the ball 16 times for 229 yards and a 14.3 yards per carry average in the fourth quarter.
And all we thought, like with Beckham going out, that would hurt his numbers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We figured it would bring more guys up.
That tells me a couple things. That tells me, one, he's just getting stronger as the game goes on. It also tells me that the game plan and Stefanski's willing to stick to that game plan. You know, he's got 29 carries. And he's averaging 5.1 yards per carry in first quarters. Second quarter is his worst quarter at 3.7. And he averages 4.1 in the third, 14.3 yards per carry in the fourth quarter. So when it's crunch time, we need a drive. We talked about it against the Texans. We had the ball inside our own 5 with, 3-4 minutes to go in the game, and we rushed for 96 yards to ice the game. So when it's crunch time, when it's money time, Nick Chubb's stepping up in a big way, and it's awesome to see.
Yeah, and with the play calling this week, so Chubb had 20 carries, didn't have any receptions, but he was only on the field for 30 snaps. So he carried the ball on 20 of his 30 snaps that he was on the field. Kareem Hunt, yeah, you look at the stats, you wouldn't even realize he actually played six more snaps than Chubb did in the game. You know, you look at the stat line, and you're like, man, well, you know, it was a heavy Chubb offense, you know, this week. But he actually was out snapped by Kareem Hunt.
I'll say this about, so Nick Chubb had 114 yards rushing this game, 54 of that on one carry.
Right, that's Saquon Barkley stats.
Yeah, that same thing kind of happened last week against the Texans. You know, you had a 59-yard carry late in the game that was...
They got him over 100.
Yeah, so... but, you know, that's what running backs do. They hit the... When it's there, they hit the big play. And Kareem Hunt, I don't know, since the bye, I mean, he only had 11 yards rushing in this game, but that touchdown... He runs like a man possessed. I mean, I didn't realize when we signed him, he's such a physical runner. I always thought of him, you know, playing for the Chiefs, he's more of a finesse back. You don't want to tackle this guy.
No, he's a... Like, I never realized either when he was with the Chiefs just how big he is. Like, yeah. He's a thick guy. I mean, dang. When he comes running hard, I mean.
You do not want to be in his way. He runs so physical. He's so strong. He's so fast. I loved how jacked up he was after that touchdown, too.
Oh, yeah.
That was so awesome. Yeah.
How about Baker? You guys see Baker?
Oh, yeah.
When he was wasn't it Chubb's?
It was the touchdown run. Yeah. He was kind of dancing,
when he was like dancing down the field, like they had the camera on him.
Yeah,
We were laughing when he busted out that run, got up and just doing it. oh man, hey buddy.
Hey, you didn't do that when you fumbled and gave the Eagles their only points.
Right.
Yeah. So I didn't like that fumble, as you guys know, but So I want to see the offense this week, not in a tsunami, hopefully, fingers crossed. I want to see, because we got to start grading this offense.
Yeah, you know, Blake wants to know if Baker's the guy, and we just keep having this week after week. We're like, well, we can't judge him this week. We have to wait. Can't judge him this week.
Well, it's not just Blake. I think it's Browns Nation. I mean, everybody's like, is he the guy? Right. I can't tell this week. Next week, can't wait. Is he the guy? I can't tell this week. Over and over, man.
Come me on. And Blake argue about this literally every day for probably the last, 3 months? It's every day. I mean,
think about that. So you know that the fans are thinking that way. Imagine being Baker and having to go in every game with that pressure of being like, well, I better go and ball out. Otherwise, they're going to be saying,
I'm
not the guy. I can't handle the pressure. The rest of the year.
And then he steps out of the tunnel and it's 60 mile per hour wind. He's like, takes his breath away. Damn it.
Here we go again.
Here's another 12 for 22 performance, but I'm sure Nick Chubb will look good.
Right.
Yeah.
The sun will come out tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
If I was him, I'd just audible to all run plays, but I ain't throwing in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Baker doesn't audible. I will say this.
He's got the hard count down, though.
We'll start talking about it because you talked about hard count. Yeah, now he hard counts.
I'm convinced. You'll never convince me otherwise that Baker's not a listener of the show. Because how many times have we said, man, we want to see this out of Baker? And then he comes out and does it. Steelers game, they were all over us, and he didn't use one hard count. And since then, he looks like Aaron Rodgers out there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who else is he going to listen to? National media? Come on. He's going to listen to the dogs, baby. Yeah. Come on.
I just, you know, obviously the national media, they're probably really worried about what we think. But I sat up all Monday morning after work watching Get Up, just hoping to catch something about the Browns. I'm like, we're 7-3. All these teams lost. We're in the playoffs. Nothing. they were like, I waited to come back from commercial because they were like, are the Eagles going to bench Carson Wentz? I'm like, surely when they're talking about this, they're going to mention the Browns just won this game.
Yep.
No, nothing. And I was like, thank God we have a podcast.
Well, the hate is very real for the Browns. Even in Cleveland, I've heard it. I've heard, you know, the schedule's easy. You know, what do you expect this team to do with that schedule?
I mean, I don't want to hear that, though, because
the schedule, this isn't like, you know, how many times do we see a good team like the Saints get a cakewalk schedule or, you know. I've seen really, really good teams get an easy schedule. For once, we got that schedule, and it's really
fun. Here's the thing. Preseason, we all picked the Browns to do well. Josh, you picked us to go, what, like 8-8 and miss the playoffs?
Yep.
Idiot. But, but you know, I think I was
we only have 7 wins right now. Yeah. So it's still
possible.
It's not mathematically eliminated.
I would be okay with being wrong about that.
I think I said 11-5. I'm pretty sure Zach was 11-5 also.
Yeah.
I think Justin was 10-6.
Yeah.
And credit Colin Cowherd, he had us at 9-7, I believe, in making the playoffs. But pretty much everybody else in the media had us picked
4-12. I saw 4-12. Yeah,
7-9,
5-11,
5-11, like all that. This stuff. Peter King had us listed as, you know, like I said last week, the 42nd best roster in the NFL. It went like Jacksonville, the Jets, Ohio State, Clemson, the Browns, as far as like rosters. And we couldn't believe it. And so I don't want to hear them talk about, well, they should have this record. Look how easy their schedule is. You saw the schedule when you made your preseason picks, and you still picked us to lose 10 of those games.
Right. You still have to go play the games.
Yeah, you think about it. Nobody thought that Dallas was going to be as terrible as they are. You know, and some of the – nobody thought – I mean, going, you said you picked Colin Cowherd's pick. He had the Steelers going 7-9,
undefeeded. And he had the Ravens going 16-0.
Ravens were going to go undefeated, win the Super Bowl. They're – trending downhill. So you can do your projections, you know, but you can't blame the schedule. You got to play, you can only play who you can play.
Right.
You know, you can't. Yep. And I think that that's kind of the argument you can always make when somebody says, I can only play who's on my schedule. I can't play Kansas City twice a year, every year, and then play Belichick twice a year, even though now you might want to.
Do you think Stefanski is complaining about it? You
heck know, no. Well, come on, we still got to play Baltimore and Pittsburgh twice a year. I mean, it's not like
absolutely, and until you know Sunday, Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I mean, man, that sucks. Nasty.
And this isn't college. Yeah. It's not like, you know, we're Alabama scheduling Citadel in the beginning of the year. You know, we don't make our schedule, and they're all professionals.
Yep.
So, I mean, we just saw like the Jaguars are what 1-9, and they played the Steelers super tough early in that game. I mean, it's the NFL. Everybody. So I don't want to.
They played the Packers tough 2 weeks.
Yeah, they played everybody.
You know, and so speaking of the easy schedule, which you know, and I've talked about our schedule, the how we're not going to get to play, you know, the easiest schedule in the world every year. So that's why we got to see what we got out of Baker and stuff like that. But teams, you know, this is a list of teams, their record against 500 or better teams or 500 or worse teams. Green Bay against teams over 500. 1-2, Seattle 2-3, Baltimore 2-3, Tampa Bay 2-3, Indy 2-2, Rams 2-2, the Titans 2-2, New Orleans 2-2, Miami 2-2. These are all teams that people consider good teams, and they're all either even or under 500 against those good teams.
What's Green Bay, 1-2?
We're 1-3.
Okay.
So, you know, Miami, everybody's in love with Miami right now. They're 2-2 against teams that are 500 or better. They're one game better than us.
Well, yeah. And Rafe, I understand the Miami hype right now because they do look good, and it's a great story for them, but they just benched their starting quarterback last week. I mean, like, they're not put together yet. So,
yeah,
I love where we are right now.
Yeah.
In relation to the rest of the league.
Yeah, my wife was she saw a picture yesterday on Facebook and showed it to me, and it's teams with a better record than the 7-3 Browns right now. Pittsburgh Steelers 10-0, Kansas City Chiefs 9-1, New Orleans Saints 8-2.
I told Blake that this morning.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
Nobody else. Nobody else has a better record than the Cleveland Browns. But it's Cleveland, and nobody's going to – obviously, we're kind of the same way. Obviously, we want to believe, but – you know, I think you got to get to the playoffs, especially now. It'd be so Cleveland to be 7-3 and then find a way not to make it.
Oh, I'd be broken.
So, talking about your boy, Brian Hoyer, you know, Facebook has those memories, you know, that pop up. I had one pop up the other day. Mm-hmm. It said, we might have won the game, but Brian Hoyer's garbage. It needs to be Johnny time. The second half of that, probably not right. But then I had people commenting, The guy's 7-4. He's the only one winning games. Give him a break. He's going to win at least 10 games this year. He didn't win another game. He went seven and nine.
He had us there.
Yeah. So yeah,
look at you, Trash and Hoyer.
Yeah, I looked like a prophet back then.
It was all your fault, Brian, I guess. There weren't 10 other guys on the field with you.
One thing I do want to talk about, I thought was, you know, Mark Schlereth did color commentary for the game. And the play-by-play guy asked him, you know, what do you think of this Browns team, you know, going to be 7-3? How do you see them in the playoff picture? What do you think of them going forward? And he said something that I liked. He said, we are a team that is learning to win ugly.
Yep.
And that's something you're going to, you know, not every game is going to go perfect. Not every game you're going to come out and be able to throw 22 straight completions. When you get into the, you know, January football, it's going to be tough. And you got to be able to play physical. You got to be able to pound the rock. Yep. You got to be able to, you know, win games where not everything is going great. And the Browns, to Stefanski's credit, and I put a lot of this on Stefanski, he's completely turned around the way the Browns operate late in these games.
Yeah, and this is really the first time that I can remember a Browns team doing this. Every week I see improvements, right? They're getting better. They're getting stronger. They're getting better in the offense. And everything's just kind of clicking better and better and better as the year's going on. And normally it's, you know, it's either just a straight downhill slide or it's a roller coaster. But this year it's like we're climbing upward. And you see some of these other teams. We talked about Baltimore before the show, how they're just kind of slipping and sliding downhill right now as the season's going on. Yep. They're going downward. We're trending up. I love seeing that.
We're very disciplined. Very, very. Even this game, I think three penalties. Now, like, the yards are kind of deceiving. I saw 53 yards, but three penalties the entire game.
Yeah,
and that's super impressive.
You know, I'm not a betting man, but if this, you know, last year with this schedule, we're not 7-3. We lose this game. You know, the Texans get, I 100% believe we would have lost last week if Freddie Kitchens was still our coach.
You get beat by Cincinnati.
We don't beat the Colts. No way we beat the Colts.
You know what I mean? Because all these games where.
Still lost that game.
Yeah. Yep. All these games where it's come down into the fourth quarter and you're like, man, typical Browns, we're giving the game away. We're going to lose this game on a last second field goal. And then we go on a 96-yard drive to ice the game. Yep. My whole life we haven't been doing that. My whole life we've been going three and out, punting the ball. And I've been watching them go 20 yards and kicking a field goal to win the game. So it's awesome to see, and I really think Stefanski, Andrew Berry, I think they've done a great job just changing the culture of the Browns in one season. Took not even a full season. Look what we've done so far.
I know a weird season.
Yeah,
a weird preseason. You know, where you're not really getting to be super hands on with your guys and stuff like that.
Go ahead.
I think it says a lot about. It seems like these guys have completely bought into him. 100% believe in what he wants to do for the team. And I thought that, you know, maybe not week one, but I mean, the first time he got to meet his team was over a computer.
Yeah.
You know, and so just the fact, I wish we would have hired this guy last year.
Yeah,
I know. And so did the Browns.
I know.
That's why they went and hired him this year.
So. I know hindsight's 20/20, but imagine being, this was the second year in his system.
Well, it's okay because now it's the first year in his system and it's the first year for the podcast.
Right. Yeah, good point. Last year would have been a rough podcast.
There might not have been a year.
We would have had to put a little E explicit next to it. We wouldn't have been able to be a PG show because.
Yeah, been rated M for mature.
Yeah, it would have been rough.
And you talked about winning, you know, some games ugly, talking kind of segue into our next game here. Jaguars, a lot of their games are ugly.
Yeah.
But. You know, they're that team that, you know, can kind of hang around and they normally, you know, shoot themselves in the foot in a game and end up losing by a couple scores. Got rocked by Pittsburgh this week, but who doesn't? Before that, they played Green Bay down to the wire really tough, played Houston down to the wire really tough. L.A. Chargers, a week before that, was close until the end. Obviously, not having Gardner Minshew this week is going to hurt them. If they had him, I wouldn't be worried, so does, but I'd be, he's I'd little, give him more of a chance.
He's a little Fitzmagic-y.
Yes.
Like, he might come out and slice you up for a couple hundred yards. I put in here, I think this is a little bit of a trap game for the Browns. You know, we're on a two-game win streak. We're 7-3, best record we've had in 20-plus years, and we're coming into this game with no Myles Garrett, no Denzel Ward, now no Taki Taki. You know, who knows if Ronnie Harrison's going to play.
We do not have... Janovich.
No Janovich.
Chris Hubbard is possibly back, but if you lose a lineman, now you're down your backup.
Yeah, and I saw due to contact tracing, Jedrick Wills didn't play today in practice. You know, Conklin nursing a sore knee. Teller still got the calf. And then right on the other side of this Jacksonville game is the Titans. Are the biggest game we've had. You know, it's going to be our biggest game in a month. because it's a barometer for the Browns, I think, that Titans game, to see, you know, are we for real going down this stretch or are we not? So we got to take this one game at a time. And I know, I think Stefanski will be drilling that, you know, one game at a time. Got to go 1-0 this week. But, you know, as a player, sometimes it's hard to focus on that 1-9 team when you got the big game next week. Happens in college all the time.
And that one win for them, the against Colts. The Colts.
Yeah, we won. Surprising.
Is there a fan base we owe a bigger apology to, by the way?
No,
absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I will
not.
Say that the Colts, they are starting to look like a very good football team.
Yeah, all that I've Green heard. Bay game was.
And Phillip Rivers is starting to play better, and they're starting to roll a little bit. And it took me, you know, makes our win against them look even better.
It does. Yeah.
All I've heard about that Colts win, oh, no Darius Leonard, so, you know, we weren't the same defense, blah, blah, blah. Hey, Colts fans, we'll see you in the playoffs. Good luck. Can't wait.
Yeah. I love the swag out of Justin.
Can't wait. Can't wait for that matchup.
I'm still not scared of him.
Attaboy. Thanks, Zach.
Not apologizing to them.
So what I want to see out of the Browns this week against the Jaguars, obviously continue to run the ball. I would like to see us run the ball better early. You know, let's not wait till the fourth quarter, hopefully. You know, maybe come out and establish that run early to try to open up the passing game. I want to see it not rain. So, you know, big guy upstairs, if you could do us a solid, let's hold the rain off from 1 to 4 o'clock. And I want to see the passing game open up a little bit. And I'm not saying I want to see Baker come out. You know, he doesn't have to throw the ball 40 times. I don't need him to throw 400 yards. But can you have like a Kirk Cousins game for me? You know, can you go 20-27 for, you know, a couple hundred, maybe a couple touchdowns? Like, let's open it up a little bit.
A touchdown?
Yeah.
Awesome.
When was the last time he threw a touchdown? It was the Cincy game.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, he hasn't thrown a touchdown in any of these rain games.
You know,
it's been a month.
And again, the terrible weather going to give him a little bit of a pass, but at some point, you know, if you're going to play, we talked about we don't have a dome in Cleveland. So if you're going to play in Cleveland, you got to be able to play in these elements. So at some point, I need him to
look at you. Look at you embracing the weather. What a difference! What a difference a week makes.
No.
Golly, I'm just messing with you, man.
You know, plus for the Browns going in this week, obviously, they named Mike Glennon the starting quarterback. The Jaguars did. Hasn't started a game since 2017. That was for the Bears back then. He's been around the league. Was with the Bucks for a couple years when he got drafted. Then he went to Chicago. Then he went to Arizona. He was in Oakland and was the backup. Played a couple games last year. Only threw 10 passes. So this guy comes in and he turns the ball over.
Seasoned vet, sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand all that, but at the same time, I would honestly feel better if they were sticking with Luton this week, because how many times do you see these bad teams that are just kind of rotating QBs in and out, and they like, all right, we're going to pull this other guy. And now the team coming up against them that week, well, we don't have tape on him this year because he hasn't played.
Right.
And then there's a little bit of that spark. You know, you don't know what to expect. The other team gets away with rolling out some funky plays or whatever. And it just, not that I think we're going to lose or anything, or that Glennon's going to light it up. It's just,
he's a big dude. And they 6'7".
Yeah.
Is he 6'7"?
6'7".
Wow. I didn't know they stat crap that high.
He is a big dude. So I get what you're saying. Completion percentage. He's 6-16 as a starter in the NFL. 60% completion. He's got 36 touchdowns, only 20 picks. So he's better than Jameis Winston.
So that would be my fear, though, is because with our secondary banged up like it is and our defense suspect, they have, I mean, their wide receivers are a lot better than people might realize because of their record.
Oh, but, yes,
they got
sure.
a solid running back, too.
They do. They do. Now, think if we had those receivers. Just swap out the receiving corps for a second. Not with Odell, but just with the healthy guys.
I would say
right
Chark. Chark's nice.
I like Chark.
Chenault. Conley. Yeah.
Cole.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking.
Yeah,
Cole.
They don't have their tight end. They're lacking there, but running back wise,
they got a solid running back.
Yeah,
he's like the third string guy too, because the first
coming,
two guys,
yeah, coming in,
the one guy had COVID Fournette, twice.
Fournette was
that's
traded.
Right,
yep. They traded him out.
No, they just cut Fournette.
Or they cut Fournette. He's gone.
Rest
signs
in peace
with the
my fantasy team.
He signs with the Bucks, and Robinson just. I mean, he's been a top running back, and if you're into fantasy football, all year long.
He's number three.
And all I've heard is, oh, his touchdowns are going to fall off every week. Nope. Every week on fantasy shows, all they talk about is the touchdowns are not going to stay. And then every week,
he just scores
60
again.
Yards and a touchdown and two or three catches. And, well, you know, and
he ran okay against the Steelers.
Yeah. And not a lot of people do.
No.
So, to me, this is a game where we need the defensive front to step up again. We're banged up a little bit at linebacker. We're not, you know, Taki being out. We're definitely banged up in the secondary. We're talking about how they got some weapons. We cannot let Glennon get hot. You know, we right. got to pressure this guy. He's suspect to the turnover. Now, like Zach said, so I need Olivier Vernon. Let's not rest on our laurels from last game. Let's go get a couple more.
Yeah, but now our turnover guys are out.
Yeah, the guys that get our turnovers are out. How much? Okay, so I'm going to throw this out there. We've seen this where a key player from a franchise goes on to a new team, and you know he gives away their secrets. They say, you know, of the
Harrison.
Team. Joe Schobert.
Oh.
How much did Joe Schobert know about the guys on? Now he doesn't know the offense, obviously, but he knows, you know, what Nick Chubb likes to see, you know, on this run play. Or Nick Chubb, you know, gets the ball. Smart yeah. guy like that, he knows what Baker's looking for on pass plays, like yep. where his reads are.
Yep.
I know he's going to go here, and he's really staring down this guy. That's where he's going with the ball. How much of that stuff plays a little bit of effect in the game plan yeah. this week?
I definitely – it's a factor.
Yeah.
I don't know how big of a factor it is because of the complete regime change.
Right.
But, yep. he, like you said, he's still going to know player tendencies. You know, he played probably a lot of snaps against Baker in practice. You know, so Baker's got to be cognizant of that. He's got to know where Joe Schobert is. Joe Schobert is maybe not the most physically gifted linebacker, but he's a very smart linebacker.
How much is he regretting not signing with us?
The last time you said Baker's got to pay attention to somebody on defense, it didn't go so well, Blake.
Yeah, he watched him run into the end
zone. I just had like nightmare flashbacks. As soon as yeah. you said he's got to know where Schobert is, I'm like, he's getting a pick six this week.
Hey, that's like I said, I just, you know.
Man, I wish we had Joe Schobert still.
Yeah.
He's probably wishing, man, I should have just signed and took a little bit less.
I'd take him, Kirksey.
Oh, my gosh.
Kirksey, I didn't recognize him
no.
For Green Bay. He's got, like, the dreads
yeah.
now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that, not the same guy that I saw just, completely. I mean, 3 or 4 years ago when he actually played for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so real quick, just rewind real fast. But I'm with you on this is a trap game, I think, straight up. Because if they're able to come out and pound the ball against us in the run game, like, Oakland did. I think Glennon might be competent enough to actually give us a game here. You know, if we cannot stop that run.
Exactly. And we got to get, like I said, we got to get pressure. We can't let him get comfortable. You know, so he hasn't played since 2017.
We need him to look like Carson Wentz back there.
Yes. We need to get him running around a little bit. We need to get into his face. We need to hit him a couple times. Defense, you know, got to force a couple turnovers. Go 1-0 this week. Don't look past these guys because they have ability.
Mm-hmm. And then to flip it too, I mean, they're giving up a lot of yards. Their defense is not good.
So
they give up a ton of yards.
This is a game I want to see the offense click.
Yeah, 130 yards a game on the ground.
Yep.
Over 400 yards a game total offense
yep.
that they give up.
That last time we played a team that, you know, gave up a lot of rushing yards was Dallas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We ran for
when we had our two studs, you know, for yeah. the start of the game.
Ran for 300 yards that game. It was like an Oregon game.
Yeah.
it was a track meet. So I want to see the offense click, especially if the weather is decent. All right. Well, that concludes our Jaguars preview. You know, to sum it up, we just want to look good.
Yeah.
You know, offense, score
and dry.
Points.
We want to look good and dry.
Yeah. Offense, score points. Defense, don't give up points. I heard a rumor that the team that scores the most is going to win.
Yep.
So
let's see if that plays out.
Yeah. So let's move into our game picks. We'll fly through these real quick.
Yep. So last week through week 11, not a great week for us as pickers.
It was rough.
Top. The leader, I went 8-6 in first place. Josh is right behind me, 7-7. Both of you guys, Justin and Blake, went 6-8.
Browns Nation, I am so sorry.
Yeah,
I'm trying. It's tough.
We got Josh is in the lead over myself. I'm two games back. Josh is sitting at 111 and 50 total. 109-52 for myself. Blake, 104-57, 7 games back. Justin, you're 11 games back, 100. You got your 100th win, but you got 61 losses.
Hey.
I'll say the most proud I was, I'm pretty sure I picked the Rams over the Bucks.
Yes, yes, you did have the Rams. That was a game I missed. I picked the Bucks. Me and Josh had the Bucks. Okay, so let's get into this week. We'll kind of go through them quick. Houston at Detroit.
Houston, never, ever, ever picking Detroit ever again.
And you weren't, and that was a game that you flip-flopped, and you went back to New England last week. You listened to Blake, yep. And because you had Houston, I was the only one that got it right.
Yep.
That was, we would have been tied, so thanks, Blake. So talk him out of some picks. I'm going to go Houston as well.
I didn't talk him out of it. All I did was say Romeo Crennel.
You said Romeo Crennel.
Turns out I'm very persuasive.
Yeah.
So, Justin and Blake, what do you guys got in that game?
I'm going to go Texans also.
You're going Texans? I'm going Detroit.
Man.
Justin just wants to come in last place.
No.
Detroit plays well on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it could be a good game. Go into a division battle, Washington football team at Dallas Cowboys. On Thursday on Thanksgiving as we're eating our...
Fourth plate.
Yeah,
I'm going to go Dallas. Their defense is playing a little bit better than it was early in the season. Andy Dalton, competent quarterback. I'm going to go Dallas.
I'm going Dallas too. CeeDee Lamb, that catch last week.
Oof,
filthy.
Give me Dallas again just because last I checked, Terry McLaurin questionable for tomorrow. So if he doesn't play, I don't know exactly who's going to be running all over that defense.
I'm going with the Washington football team. I'm going to take them over Dallas. Big game, though, for that division.
Yeah.
2-3-7 teams, and it's a big game.
It's crazy to me that the Browns might go 11-5 and struggle to make the playoffs.
Maybe get that last wild card spot.
Yeah. And they're going to get a home football.
And they might not get 6 wins.
Right. This game's just got moved back to Sunday. We're still going to pick it anyway where it's at. Baltimore at Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh because we need them to win.
I'll go Pittsburgh because Lamar Jackson sucks.
I'll go Pittsburgh. I don't have anything better than that, man. That's fine.
Pittsburgh, they're
a good team. That's all I got
clean
for
sweep.
You.
Clean sweep. I'm taking Pittsburgh as well. The Raiders at Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta really let me down. They couldn't stop a tight end at quarterback.
Yep.
So I'm taking Vegas.
Yeah.
Also Vegas.
They look good against the Chiefs, even though they lost.
Be exciting. I keep watching them, their games. Be exciting when they're allowed to have fans in that stadium.
It's a nice stadium.
That's going to be a little bit of a difference maker for them.
Yes. Okay, Chargers at Buffalo. Herbert, another tough matchup.
I'm going to go Buffalo.
Austin Eckler rumors he's on the verge of returning.
Yep.
I'm going to go Buffalo.
Buffalo, I'm going to go Buffalo as well.
Yeah. In Buffalo? Yeah, I'll take Buffalo.
Yeah, give me Herbert.
Hey.
I like him.
Justin Herbert.
There you go. Hey, I'll tell you what. If there's a team that we could afford to lose some games, Buffalo.
Yeah.
You know, have them lose a few. I'd rather play them than a Kansas City in the playoffs if we were to make it.
Mm-hmm.
New York Giants at Cincinnati with Finley.
Not Finley.
Who's going to be the
Brandon
quarterback?
Allen.
Yeah.
Brandon Allen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently, Finley's 30 yards and a pick or whatever didn't get him the job.
I mean, yeah. I'm taking the G-men.
I agree. Yes. I see them. They're kind of trending up.
I said I would never pick New York, but I.
You're in a position now.
you got to change. You got to change as things go on. Yeah. So, give me the Giants.
But Detroit filled that void for you now. You can pick the Giants again. Now Detroit's on that list.
Yeah, right. Swap them out.
Another big game, Tennessee at Indy.
The nice thing about this game is somebody's got to lose.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. And who do we want it to be?
I think
you want to knock the Titans down a little bit?
I'd want it to be the Titans because we've already beaten the Colts.
Yeah.
So, and we still get to play the Titans. So if they lose one, then that kind of, say we don't win that game, it helps.
Yeah. Okay, so who we got?
I'm going to go Colts. They're trending upwards.
You and your fan, now you love them.
Yeah. I don't love them.
I'm picking Tennessee.
I'm never picking Indy.
I'm trying to claw my way back into this.
Yeah, I'm not picking Indy.
He's trying to get in their heart, pulling their heartstrings.
Yeah,
you know?
in case he needs a new team to root for in the playoffs.
Be a Colts fan. I'm going Indy too. Let's go, Colts. Come on. We need you. Yeah. We need you this week.
Come on, Phillip.
I'm taking Colts too, man. I just feel it's going to be a great game.
You can take that grudge to your grave, but I'm going to just live my life.
Yeah, Tennessee wins. All right, Carolina at Minnesota. Carolina at Minnesota.
Oh,
Minnesota.
Who's playing quarterback?
Yeah.
Teddy practiced. He practiced limited.
He didn't look
PJ Walker.
Didn't look bad.
Listen, no. When he was in the XFL, I was like, this guy's awesome.
Yeah, this he did not look bad.
But well, that's good because I just I cleaned out my fab budget for him last night and nobody else went for him.
I'm taking Minnesota in this game though because I like Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson. Adam Thielen, though, I think is out.
He was on the COVID list.
Yeah. He was on the list. I don't know if he's going to play, but I am taking Minnesota.
Also.
Minnesota.
Give me the Panthers.
Kind of a wasted year for the Vikings.
Yeah.
I feel like next year they'll be good again.
Arizona at New England. I'm taking Arizona.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah. I'm also taking Arizona, which means – Patriots will win.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Arizona, even though...
They never win when you pick them, ever.
I've never picked them right.
Give me the Patriots.
Wow, I might take the lead this week, guys, if everything goes right. Miami at the Jets.
Give me Miami.
They're due.
Is there ever a Jets game you don't laugh at? I mean...
They're due.
I just got a text message saying Tua jammed his finger in practice today. Nothing serious. Give me Miami.
Yeah, I'm taking Miami as well.
Dude, give me Miami with Brandon Allen or Mike Glennon or Mike Glennon. Anybody. I don't care.
Okay, Saints at Denver.
Saints.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Saints.
Denver, though, played well this week.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Taysom Hill.
Yeah, they still have Drew Lock, though.
We'll see. Yeah. It'll be interesting. I think that game's closer. But I'm taking New Orleans as well. San Fran at the Rams. San Fran probably getting
Everybody back.
Mostert's back.
Just in time for me to go 4-10 fantasy.
Well done, man.
I'm going San Fran.
Interesting. I'm not. I'm going LA.
Yeah, no way. Give me Rams.
I'm going to the Rams.
Okay. Let's see. That takes us to a great matchup here. Patrick Mahomes against Tom Brady.
Chiefs.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Chiefs as well, but man,
it's fine.
You got to look at these games and think and it, you know, really get excited for them now because how many more times are you going to see Mahomes versus Brady?
Well, and it's, you know, the GOAT against maybe the next GOAT. Yeah. Well, not the next
the
GOAT.
Passing of the torch.
Yeah, exactly.
If like anybody else was the coach of the Buccaneers, I would maybe I used to be really high on Bruce Arians, but this is, I mean,
you're just salty because he won't give Leonard Fournette the ball.
Their game plan, they'd never motion.
Yeah,
it's terrible.
They throw to one wide receiver on a series too. They tend to do that. But all right, I'm taking Kansas City. Josh,
give me Brady off a loss.
Wow. Okay.
I like Brady off a loss.
All right, go into our next game: Chicago Bears at the Green Bay Packers. I'm taking Green Bay.
Green Bay.
Yep.
Bounce back.
Takes us to Monday night, Seattle at Philly.
In Philly. Very, very intense matchup. I'm going to take Seattle.
Yeah, give me the Hawks.
Seattle.
All right, that wraps up 15 games. We'll jump back up here. Cleveland at Jacksonville. Who wants to go first?
Cleveland.
What's your score? Come on now.
Yeah, you got to throw out a score.
Come on now.
35-14.
Is this where we finally get back to that 30?
Man, look at that. High scoring.
We're going to play
great defensive game.
The last two games, we've been predicting like 30-point games for these Browns, like the Texans and the Browns.
We're going to play in decent weather. I'm calling it now.
All right. 35-14. Who's going next?
All right, fine. Give me the Browns, and I'll say we win it 27-13.
I like it.
Give me...
Your
Cleveland Browns in a shootout, 17-14.
Man, I hope we win by more than that.
In the rain. Oh, yeah, it's going to rain the entire game.
I'm going to go – I think this game's – they score more points than what you guys gave them just because we're missing so much on defense. I'm going to go Browns win 31-24 in this one. So that wraps up everything through week 12.
All right. Well, thanks, Zachary. I really appreciate you doing that.
Yes.
So let's wrap up this episode here. Thanks for checking out another episode of The Dogs. Remember to check us out on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Please go subscribe on YouTube. We'll see you next week when we break down this Jaguars game, preview the big matchup with the Titans. Very excited for that game. Before we wrap this up, I want to go around the table and say one thing you're thankful for. No, I'm just kidding.
I was ready.
I'm just kidding.
I'm ready. I am so thankful for seven and three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But no, seriously, from all of us here at the Dogs, have a fun and safe Thanksgiving tomorrow. And we'll see you guys all next week. Third game in a row. That the weather's had a negative impact on our offense. I don't know why that's in my closing right now. I think I copy and pasted. Uh-huh. So I'm just rambling. Okay. And we're going to wrap this up. Have a good Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving. Don't have more than six people at your house.